this is what really frustrates me about the education system, because it's so many people follow like an old formula of here's the material, here's your exam, and it's all built on this whole like memory process.
It's insane.
People like me and you just don't work that way.
Not just people like me and you, I think everybody doesn't work like that.
Welcome to ADH Derpcast with Stephen and Harv.
Episode, whatever episode it is.
How was your week? Yeah, great. Not great. I had...
That was one of my favourite bits of the first episode.
Yeah.
It's like, I was saying something, I can't remember exactly what it was, but you were like, I'm exactly the same. No way, I'm a complete opposite.
Yeah, that's in the first episode.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so it hasn't been a great week for me. I've had kidney stones. I've had them for a few weeks, but this week has been particularly ouchy. And Juliet has been off creche or childcare, depending on where you do it, for a few days, and that has been managing that and work and kidney stones, and yeah, so that's been intense to say the least.
Sounds fun.
What about you? What have you been?
I've been studying an awful lot. So I had an exam on Wednesday evening. No, Thursday. So I do an hour in the evening on Monday of lectures.
Okay.
And then I have a meeting with my engineering project team for another hour-ish with our supervisor. That's from 6 to 8. And then on Wednesday, I have another 2-hour lectures.
Yeah.
That's, again, 6 to 8. And we had an exam then on Thursday. It was like a 24-hour book that you could do it in.
Which oh, I like had, in your own.
Yeah,
I get you. Okay.
And you had an hour to do it. And so spent a lot of time then, pretty much all of Wednesday and all of Thursday studying for that exam. And did quite well in it, thankfully.
That'd be nice. Congratulations.
But then this morning, Saturday morning, at 10 o'clock, I had another exam, which was even more intense.
Yeah.
So as soon as that first exam was over on, I think I finished it Thursday. Were we talking on Thursday?
We did, yeah. We had a call Thursday night, yeah.
So had I done the exam or
you
was it
had
after
done
that?
It, but I don't think you told me what the...
No, because we met at 5 o'clock, wasn't it?
Oh, we met before it. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we met at 5 o'clock and then I did it later on. I kind of did another... We finished up maybe 6-ish or...
Just 5 to 6, yeah.
Yeah, so I spent another hour, an hour and a half studying before it, and then I did it. And what the fuck was I talking about?
Your exam and then the one today.
So yeah, pretty much as soon as that exam was over, I just went into study mode for the next exam.
Yeah.
And I've been constantly, like yesterday, Friday, the whole day I was out here from 11, 12 o'clock in the morning.
What are you actually studying?
I'm studying software design with cloud native computing.
And what's the... Like, is it a certificate, a degree, what?
Okay.
No,
it's a master's. You know what it is.
Well, I'm just asking for the fucking people.
I know, don't mind the people. The people aren't here.
Yeah, true. Okay, yeah, fair.
You were told about this.
I know.
By a professional.
Yeah.
And the funniest thing was we both knew exactly who he was talking about.
Yeah, fair.
But yeah, so it's a master's in software design and cloud native computing. In TUS, Technological University of the Shannon. Fully remote.
Okay, cool.
And free.
That's what, when we were planning to come over here, or when I was planning to come over here, I was like, what time's your exam?
Yeah.
I need to leave time for you to travel then after your exam. And I was like, he's fucking remote, you gobshite. Of course he's not going to need that anyway. So yeah, I was building in.
If I was traveling to Athlone for the exam, you wouldn't see me.
Yeah, fuck that.
My God, that drive in the morning. So I've... The end of semester exams are held in Athlone.
Okay,
in the
cool.
campus.
So you will actually have to go to...
Yeah.
And how long are they?
So we've... Three kind of practical regular teaching modules.
Yeah.
And there's exams for those. And it was the same last semester.
Yeah.
And then this semester we've got the engineering project, which doesn't have an exam.
Right.
It's got an academic paper that we've to produce and lots of deliverables along the way.
Like a thesis kind of.
Yeah. It's going to be, the idea is that it's a published work at the end.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
So that's going on at the same time now as the exams, you know. Yeah. So there's deliverables for that every Sunday. So
right.
This week's been a bit of a write-off for the whole team, you know.
Well, understandably.
Two exams. Yeah. And we've won on Wednesday, another exam on Wednesday. Instead of the class, we're doing like a live exam.
Okay.
For the 2 hours. So, yeah, it's just all coming at the same time.
That's intense.
Yeah, it is. And like, for me, it's intense.
Yeah.
And I'm unemployed. You know,
yeah.
And this, I was saying, it's free through Springboard, as part of the like national skills thing.
Mine
or whatever.
Was through Springboard, my Java course that I did.
Ah, right.
Which is, when did I do that? 22. I've forgotten all of it practically.
Yeah.
And what I was like, I'm going to use this for everything. It was basically computer programming. Truman okay. Youth. Nice. Was it Truman Youth? No, it wasn't. It was DCU. And it was a couple of different modules. Like we did Java, like the primary stuff was Java. We did Python.
Python's lovely. I loved Python.
I hated it. My brain slotted right into Java.
It was just the best. So we had a Python module last semester, yeah. And it was everybody's favorite module.
Everyone on the course loved it.
Yeah.
Everyone who hated Java, like loved Python. And I was like, I don't get the problem. Like Java is like. It works once I understood what it was asking for me.
Yeah,
I was able to understand.
I should have had a test ready for you. I didn't know that you had actually done a course in Java. So yeah, next time
I built a little game and everything, like a little kind of like was the game like a breakout kind of game.
All right,
like with the blocks and shit. I built one of that, like a browser based one of them. I've done a few different kind of things, but yeah, no, it's I'd really fucking rusty.
Yeah.
Once I know what's been asked of me and once I understand what the language is trying to say to me, I can follow the logic. And like even in work, and it was something I was really happy about because I am a customer experience manager.
Yeah.
So we have support engineers who work on our support cases. And if they have any like tricky cases, they'll bring them to me. But I'm not technical. I'm not in a technical role. But one of them brought a Java-related case to me. And I was like, oh, I understand this.
Yeah.
Would this work? Are they just trying to do this? I can't even remember what it was about. But I understood the language of the case.
Yeah,
I was
able
to give it in a different direction and actually contribute to the conversation.
Nice.
Which was really nice. But I really liked Java. And there was another language we did that I can't remember. But yeah, Java was nice. I enjoyed that. But what was I going to say? Yeah, so is this like your latest hobby kind of thing? Or is this, what's the...
The course.
Yeah.
So realistically, when I was let go, I spent a few months job hunting.
Yeah.
And just wasn't even getting interviews. I got a couple of interviews and roles were kind of cancelled and... It just wasn't going anywhere, you know.
Yeah.
Tried a load of different tactics. I'd been working with a career coach for a few months, like since the layoff as well. So I wasn't going into it blind, you know.
Yeah.
It wasn't like I was just doing things willy-nilly. I had the strategies and the tactics from very experienced career coach. And I just felt like it was a waste of my time, you know, because the market had been so bad. There were so many layoffs. People didn't know what was going to happen.
Dublin had like crashed at the time.
Yeah, it was crazy. It had gone nuts. All the major, and it's the same globally. You know, anything that was happening globally was happening here. But because we have such a small country and a small population compared to everywhere else, it had such a big effect.
Yeah,
like my role, my kind of industry, even though it's just kind of general tech, and I've worked in a couple of different industries across that. The industry that I've been part of for the last 7 years was ad tech. So all of the ads that you see on websites and stuff like that. And there just really isn't any industry in Ireland for that.
Yeah.
You know, it's very kind of hub based in the UK or, you know, there's smaller offices and smaller companies around Europe or whatever. But the States and the UK are the real kind of powerhouses.
Yeah.
And we're kind of like a little satellite, which obviously we were the headquarters for our company, but in terms of the industry of ad tech, you know, there's very, very little opportunity around there. Kind of fell into it from a technical perspective, you know. And I was just like, I don't necessarily need to go down a particular route, you know, whether it's to do with programming or finance or, you know, whatever it might be. So I was like, I'll upskill while I'm waiting. While things are going, you know, crazy in the job market, I'll do a few courses. I had done a load of courses kind of since the layoff in terms of, you know, LinkedIn learning and, you know, certificates of different things or whatever. But I said, look, now's the perfect time. I always said to myself that I wanted to do a doctorate at some time, at some point, but never kind of realistically thought about it. So I was like, I'll do a master's or I'll do a course. I didn't specifically say I wanted to do a master's. I'll do a course, I'll do a postgrad, or I'll do a master's, or I'll do something that can keep me going part-time, keep my brain ticking over, because I'd started the medication just as the layoff happened. Right. So I didn't have anywhere.
Yeah, I remember you saying that, actually,
So it was just really bad timing. I didn't have anywhere to funnel that energy or that kind of brain power into. So that was one of the reasons. And then the other thing was, get something part-time. It's going to upskill me. It's going to show kind of employers that I'm not just sitting around dilly-dallying.
Yeah.
But also, if it's part-time and something does come up job-wise, then I can jump into that and still study.
Yeah.
And still get the master's. So that was the thought behind it. And I was kind of coming up into August-ish. So everywhere is obviously starting up September time.
Yeah.
So a lot of things were kind of taken up at this stage. So it really narrowed a lot of the options.
Yeah.
And kind of went two directions. It was 1 year master's, which is just nuts. Like, it's probably the only 1 year master's in the country, or that I've seen anyway. You know, usually a postgrad is, it's part-time.
Yeah.
1 year part-time. You know, a 1 year master's full-time is quite okay. It's normal. But very rarely see a part-time 1 year master's.
Yeah. Which means that the time that you do put in part-time has to be intense work.
Like, But also, like, as I mentioned earlier, it's a springboard course. So it's aimed at people who are working or people who are unemployed and can do it. But it's a part-time course. So realistically, they expect most people to be working.
Yeah.
And one of the things I was going to say earlier was, I'm not working.
Yeah.
Now, I have a very busy family life and other stuff like that. But I'm not working and I'm still kind of under a lot of pressure in terms of the workload and the exams and stuff like that. So I can only imagine how difficult it is for people who are doing full-time, stressful jobs, you know.
And it's 6 to 8, isn't it?
It's 6 to 8. The lectures, so we've got lectures on Monday and Wednesday, 6 to 8. It's not exactly 6 to 8 on a Monday because we're doing meetings or, you know, other people might have meetings on other days or whatever. But for me, it's 6 to 8. And, it's the kind of project work, the study work, all on top of that as well.
But even if you think, like, if someone is working and, like, for me, I tend to start somewhere between 8, half 8, 9-ish kind of time.
Yeah.
And my finish time with that is somewhere between 4:30 and 5:30 usually. So I can imagine if someone else has a similar finish time, you'd be, like, turning off, switching off. And I'm lucky enough that I get to work from home.
Mm.
So, like, that's not even factoring in a commute. So you'd be finishing work and no switch off, no switch over, just going straight into doing that until 8.
Yeah.
And whatever work after that that you have to do for, like, projects and exams and stuff. So I can imagine that's a lot.
It's insane. And there's a 1 year full-time master's going on at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's kind of going along in parallel. And, you know, how do you kind of align those two things? How can what we're doing as, like, a 4-hour thing during the week equate to what some people are doing, like, maybe 20, 30 hours
a week,
of class time, lecture time, or whatever it is.
When I did my one, I had the exact same question, because we had, I think it was, we thought it was going to be like 3 or 4 hours during the week because it was part-time as well.
Yeah.
Excuse me. We all thought it was going to be like that in the class. And then it turned out that we only had like 3 or 4 lectures a month. And we were like,
was this for the Java one?
For the, yeah, for the programming one. We were like, we raised it and we were like, this doesn't seem right. Like, how are we supposed to do this? And they're like, oh no, we've provided all the course materials.
So that's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah. So it's like, we have 4 hours, whatever it actually is, you know, of direct FaceTime.
Yeah.
And then everything else. When we were kind of brought in on the orientation, the idea was 12 hours of FaceTime.
Yeah.
Or, you know, what's the word? With a member of staff or whatever. And then 12 hours of independent work.
Yeah.
And they're including all of the kind of pre-recorded lectures or, you know, the labs or the extra kind of, it's work that you're doing on your own. It's self-directed learning. Yeah. It's not FaceTime. It's not, it's not with a lecturer. It's not kind of that thing.
That direct kind of where you can get like live feedback.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to ask you actually, because ours was the same. Like, we had those tutorials where like it's an online class and they go through like slides and they teach you whatever, and they do workshops and you can ask questions. And like, if you run into a problem, you can be like, how do I solve this? What does this mean when this happens?
Yeah.
How do you find the like self-directed learning? Because for me, like, if they go, right, here's 12 videos that you have to watch that are just videos, I'm never going to watch them.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm never going to, like, I know, like, we have a Java book and I never once opened that. I just learned from those 4 classes that I had a week or a month. I never did the self-directed learning, because the whole reason why I wanted to do the course was for that classroom.
Yeah, like, I mean, this is the thing. There's any amount of, you know, courses online that you can do that would be way cheaper. Obviously, like, we're doing Springboard.
All those, but, all those learning platforms where it's great if that's your way of learning.
And not even that. Like, you can go onto YouTube. There's MIT, Harvard. There's one, I think it was Harvard, has a 12-hour video for their whole computer. What's the word? My fucking head.
They're like, their school, basically, the group of people.
What's the computer science? Jesus Christ. This is what being up at 6 o'clock and having no food.
Yeah.
And Jesus.
That probably wasn't your smartest move, like the not having food part.
That's the tablets, though.
Yeah, true.
So I was up at 6 o'clock. Usually I'm up between 6 and kind of 6:30 with Evie anyway.
Yeah.
Because that's when she wakes up. But I come down, get her breakfast, have a cup of coffee, have some toast or whatever. But I got, my alarm woke me up at 6 o'clock this morning. I jumped straight out of bed, brought my notes downstairs.
Yeah.
made a cup of coffee and studied until everybody else got up. So like about 7:30. Then I came straight out to the office and continued studying as close as I could up until 10 o'clock, which was the test. And then I was kind of preparing everything for this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of running on. I don't know what I'm running on. There's no fumes left.
Yeah.
The fumes died out. And now I can't remember what we're talking about again.
Self-directed learning. And like, it's a common problem for people with ADHD, adults with ADHD. I should probably specify that, because there's a common thing that kids with ADHD are problems in classrooms. But for me, like, learning in a classroom is one of the only ways I'll learn.
I'm exactly the same. Yeah.
With someone who's, I can bounce things off. Like, you know, like, I've watched you even doing this setup for lights and stuff like that. And that's something I'd never be able to do it myself.
Yeah.
But watching you do it and learning directly and asking questions and going, what are you doing this? What are you doing that? I'll learn that way. But if I'm trying to look this up myself and try and research it, I'll like look it up and I'll find whatever articles that tell me what I can do, and then I'll run into a problem or something that I don't understand, and I won't know how to get past that, and it'll frustrate me.
I'll
get really annoyed and I'll abandon it, and I'll come back to that when my brain's less angry. And then either I never come back to it, or I come back to it and get frustrated and just can't get past that blocker. So a classroom environment be it remote or or in person, or not even classroom, but like directed learning.
I think as well, one of the things that I found in this situation, so I did a postgrad a good few years ago, and you reminded me of it when you were talking about, you know, the strain on people with the commute and all.
Yeah.
Because I was working full time with like the guts of an hour commute. I'd go into work, I'd be in there all day, and then I'd leave to go, you know, maybe 20 minutes down the road on the bus for the classes. And that was, again, another, I think it was 2 or 3 hours twice a week.
Yeah.
And then home. And then by the time you're getting home, it's like 9 o'clock. Now, I didn't have a family then. It was with Rachel. We were living together. But didn't have like kids to look after or anything like that. But that was intense.
Yeah.
You know, that was crazy. But Jesus, what was my fucking point again?
You were talking about the commute. You were talking about directed learning. And before that, classrooms.
I need a teleprompter over there.
Yeah.
But anyway, look. At the end of the day, don't do a part-time master's where you have tests, 3 tests in the space of 6 days.
Yeah.
Because, especially if you have ADHD, because you forget the E, you can't talk properly on the podcast, and shit just falls apart.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. This was another thing I was thinking about when you were talking. This is pure, you know, legitimate ADHD podcast right now.
Yeah, we're seeing a live tangent.
Yeah, there's no, the whole fucking situation. There's no script. We had ideas of what we wanted to talk about. We couldn't even start with that.
I started talking about the topic that we have idly talked about, and then that's gone.
Yeah, I don't even know what it was.
But we're going to talk about hobbies.
Oh yeah, this is the gold, and it kind of does fit back in actually, because we're talking about the lights.
Yeah,
but I have been obsessed with this ever since that first day that we recorded, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
Because we couldn't get the autofocus on the webcam right on my face because the lights were all over the shop. And that destroyed me in some way internally. And I've been completely obsessed. You know, I stole the garden lights. We have 4 kind of connected spotlights in the garden that I got around Christmas because they were lovely, you know.
You're breaking the immersion.
Make it nice.
Let people know.
There's a light here. There's a light here.
Unprofessional we are.
It's dead cool. You know, break that fourth wall.
Yeah.
But look, I went completely hyper fixated, and I watched hours and hours of videos, listened to things, podcasts or whatever, and tried so many things. And for this whole week, before I take my tablets, you know, and kind of before that kind of energy kicked in, I'd been in the office for an hour or whatever, messing around with lights, you know, trying to figure out with the camera, holding my phone. My PC is just over this side. Sorry for breaking the fourth wall again. And looking at myself in my phone, on the camera, on the PC, which was connected to the webcam, so I could see what the lights recorded, were like. So. Yeah, we have some of them recorded. Probably shouldn't have recorded them. But
on Thursday, we were talking, and you said it was like 5 or 6, and we were looking at the lights setup that we have, and we were talking, right, we need to change our light setup. And we were like, okay, before tonight, because you had the exam.
Yeah.
So we said you were going to do the exam. We were going to look up lights and kind of do a bit of digging into the lights and see what else we could do. And we'd order new lights by that night.
Yeah.
To make sure that we had new lights for today.
Bearing in mind that I had already been researching this for weeks.
Yeah. I hadn't, but you had. And
you forgot about it.
Completely.
And I didn't forget about it. When I went to bed...
that night. No, was it the next day?
It was the next day.
I said, bollocks, we forgot to do the lights. And you're like, I was researching lights till midnight and didn't order them because you're researching them. Gone so far down the rabbit hole. And then when I got here today, you were like, I just pulled up all the garden lights. And that's what we have rigged up here. We've 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We've like several lights just like hovering in this kind of nebulous space.
Maybe we should take a picture and pop it on
I've done on Insta. One on the story profile. That was just kind of the in sequence.
Did you get any pictures of my homemade like softbox.
Softbox, that's it. No, but I think that's going to be golden. We need to capture that. And I think the rest of them are going to need that as well.
Yeah.
But, and you, when you came over, when I came over.
Me? I don't leave my house.
Yeah, that's why I'm here. When I came over here, and I was like, there's just lights everywhere. And you were so knowledgeable about, first of all, what they were all called by position, what they were for, how they were going to be used, the settings for each one. And I'm like, do you not just turn them on and just like, that's it? Like, there's, it's just like.
And that happens to me in everything.
Yeah.
Not everything, but things that kind of get me engaged, like a very practical thing like this.
Yeah.
You know, that engages me. The desk, I built that desk with my dad, you know, from solid wood. Stuff like that, you know, even though it's a problem. So this room is a very strange room. Yeah. One half of it is right angled.
Yeah.
And then the other half of it is like 140 degree angle.
Yeah.
And then obviously the last corner has to be much more acute.
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly what it is. It would be 40 That's degrees based on the maths. Yeah. But 35,
yeah.
But
whatever those numbers are.
Yeah. Like, so I bought a desk that I thought would fit this.
Yeah.
It's the desk frame, you know, the legs, it's a standing desk. And the angle was wrong. It doesn't fit perfectly. So it's quite a bit out from the wall on this side. So we had to figure out how to make that work. You know, I wanted the desk to kind of go up against the wall, that side, up against the wall, and that side. So you see this little black thing over here?
Yeah.
That's actually where the desk is supposed to sit.
Oh, right, okay.
But we pushed the wood back and changed the angle of the wood so that it would suit the wall rather than the desk frame.
Yeah.
And shit like that, you know, finding out kind of clever. And that's a headphone stand now, the little juddy out bit.
And yeah, even like the workarounds.
Yeah.
That we've done for this, like this whole place, like this whole setup is just built on workarounds.
Yeah.
Why aren't my...
What's your camera sitting on right now, Stephen?
I wasn't going to say, but we're sitting on... It's a multi-layered setup of a bin.
Very technical.
A Rodecaster microphone box and several, I'll count them, but yeah, several Starbucks cups.
Yeah.
And that was just kind of patched together by need.
But it's stuff like that that kind of gets my fire going and my juices going. And that's when I get real into things.
Yeah.
You know? And that hasn't happened with this course. It happened. That's what I was going to talk about. It was Python.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I remember talking about that.
I can't remember why. But anyway, I was going to bring it back to Python when you were talking about the course and the self-directed learning. The self-directed learning in that class, in that module, was unbelievable, right? Because, and it's why, one of the reasons why everybody loved that class so much was because the lecturer had laid it out in a way that we would have class on, I think it was a Monday.
Yeah.
And he would go through everything from the last week. He would have the presentation done. You know, and he would go through it very briefly and talk about really specific things. And if anybody had questions on the work that we'd done the last week that we'd already done and engaged in, then he'd answer them, you know?
Okay.
But every week we would have pre-reading. There'd be a quiz on the pre-reading. So after Monday's class, say, for example, Monday's class was the introduction.
Yeah.
Okay. For that week and to be prepared for the next week, we would have pre-reading for the next class.
Okay.
So about whatever topic it would be, you know, classes or there's no classes in Python, so that doesn't make sense. But whatever it was, and then you'd have like a 10-question quiz based on that, and you would get a grade for that that counted towards your end of semester grade.
Learning.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was very minor. It's very minor. I think like all of the quizzes for the whole thing were worth 10% or less than 10%. Yeah. But I wrote a LinkedIn post about this as well when it started. I was like, this is amazing. You know, it's the way to do it because one, from an ADHD perspective and probably a lot of other perspectives, you're not going into the final exam.
Yeah.
You know, worried about how important it is because you already have an idea of how good you are with the content. Yeah,
you've already got your base, like.
Yeah, you've got a base foundation of kind of protection or armor. You know, you've got 40% out of the 60% or whatever.
I just need, like, it gives you that kind of mentality of, I just need to get this.
But also, because you're working practically every week, you're reading every week. And not only did we have the pre-reading and the quiz, we also had, like, programming exercises.
Yeah.
And they were graded as well. So, going back to my example, week one, introduction. For next class, read this book or read this PDF or whatever and do the quiz.
Yeah.
Okay. Week two, go through all of the answers from the reading and any questions that came up from people that did the reading.
Okay.
Now, moving in kind of planning for week three, do week three's pre-reading, do the quiz. And now from the stuff that you learned last week from the reading and the quiz and that we've talked about now, do programming exercises on that.
Okay, so, and that, like, constantly builds.
Exactly. So you're...
And it holds you accountable for...
You're accountable, yeah. You're accountable. You're learning. You're accumulating grades. And you're not forgetting the stuff that you did, because it's all building on continuous layers.
That's like making self-guided learning work for, like...
Yeah.
Same as guided, like you know...
It was
like,
amazing.
That's I'm blown away by that. That's actually really impressive.
It blew my mind as well.
Except for the Python part, that can go away.
Maybe you should have came to that module. But it was such a great way to do it, you know. And it's funny because we've got object oriented programming and we've got microservices and continuous build, different modules, and there are kind of weekly things. You know, we have a lecture in each of the classes. There are activities that you can do. There is reading there that you can do.
Yeah.
But there's no prescribed work. You know, one of the lecturers might say, look at lab three for week three.
Yeah.
Try to get that done. Try to get that ready. You know.
But there's no follow-up on that. There's nothing to hold you to it.
Accountability, we've talked about before.
Yeah.
You know, if there's nothing kind of associated with that, goes out the window. Yeah. More kind of higher priorities come into play then, you know?
That's something that I'm like, because I've been thinking about my next step in terms of like, what do I want to do? Because I just did the Java stuff out of interest. Like there was no...
Okay, yeah.
There was no career-driven reason. I did do it for a springboard, but it was just like, I want to do something.
Yeah.
And I've been thinking, what can I do next with that? And I've been kind of shying away from doing a remote course again for the reason that, like, the trap I nearly fell into with that one, where I just had
another thing that I was going to talk about. Jesus Christ.
Keep it there.
I'll try. And now you've lost it.
Yeah. We need, like, a whiteboard.
Yeah, to write that's exactly what we need, yeah. That can be our gimmick.
Yeah, like a little whiteboard with our topics on it. So I shied away from the self-guided stuff. But now, looking at that, I might see if there's something I can even jammy together of keeping myself accountable with the learning side of things. Like, if I try and, like, reverse engineer that almost.
Does that work for you, though?
Probably not.
Yeah,
like, I'm going to get myself really excited, and then it's going to fall apart, just like the way all the other methods I've tried to implement. But if that was already implemented and built into the class...
It was amazing. Yeah.
Why don't more of them do that?
Well, people were excited to go to the class.
Yeah.
People were excited to work on the projects.
This is what really frustrates me about the education system, because it's so many people follow like an old formula of, here's the material, here's your exam.
Yeah.
And it's all built on this whole... like memory process.
It's insane. It's absolutely insane.
People like me and you just don't work that way.
But especially, and not just people like me and you, I think everybody doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, people do. And people succeed in that environment.
Yeah, but like I'm very good at taking exams.
Yeah.
I always have been very good at taking exams. But my memory is absolutely awful.
Yeah.
I can sit down and study for a week for an exam.
Yeah.
And do really well in it. And then as soon as that exam is over, that knowledge is gone because I haven't used it practically.
Yeah.
You know, it's like instead of memorizing the content, like you say, for example, if you're in sixth year or whatever, for the Leaving Cert, the state exams, over the year and over the previous 2 or 3 years, you know, you've got content that's potentially on the exam.
Yeah.
Now that's no use to me because I'm not going to remember stuff like that.
Stuff that you've done 2 years ago, you're being tested on, but there's been no no follow up with it. There's
Even if you do revision throughout the last year or whatever,
it's gone. Like
And I'm kind of able to condense that down into, you know, a couple of days or a week or whatever. But in a similar fashion to people who do well through their studies in the Leaving Cert, it disappears after because you're not using it. You know, you don't need it.
I can do that. Like I can do that, like intense cram kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I have to have an interest in it. And that's the problem, because that's also not practical, because there's going to be stuff that you're studying that you don't have an intrinsic care about.
Or yeah.
Like it doesn't spark joy. It doesn't excite you. But like it's basically just weaponizing hyperfocus.
Yeah, but that's exactly what it is. Yeah. And I got through the Leaving Cert with that.
Yeah.
Like I never studied a day in my life until the Leaving Cert.
Yeah.
Maybe I did for the Junior Cert. I can't remember that specifically. But for the Leaving Cert, I have, you know, really kind of clear, distinct memories of going into the, we had a big canteen in our school, and going in there early in the morning of the exams and just cramming, you know, for an hour, a couple of hours, looking at all the revision stuff and doing okay enough. You know, obviously there's a lot of content to fit into a few hours study, but I did enough to get through it.
Okay.
And I can still do that when I need to.
I can do it if I'm interested.
Yeah.
But if I'm not interested. And the other thing is, like, when you're building on knowledge in a kind of consecutive way, when, like, let's say 1 leads to 2 leads to 3 leads to 4.
Mm.
Let's say life happens and you miss 2.
Yeah.
And you go 1, 3, 4. What happens with me is when I get to 3, I'll be like, I missed something. I don't understand.
Yeah, I'm the same.
Then I start to feel overwhelmed. And when I start to feel overwhelmed, rather than reach out and try and figure out where that gap is, I tend to shut down.
Mm.
And I'm just like, I can't do this.
But do you know you've missed 2? Do you know that's... Because I feel like I'm the same. But if I know that if I know there's something missing, then I'll be able to go and figure it out. But if I don't know, if I don't understand why I'm not grasping the concept, or I don't know that there's a missing piece of information or something.
If I know how to get that slice back, then I'll be fine. I'll go figure it out and plug that into whatever. If I don't, and that's oftentimes I won't look back and try and figure it out. I'll go straight to just blaming myself.
Mm.
I go, I just don't understand this. This isn't for me. This isn't something that I'll be able to understand. And I just put like a shell around myself and withdraw from the information and shut myself down. But if I go back and go, just look at, here's 2, it's clearly labeled as 2.
Yeah.
Plug 2 into 3 and you'll be fine. I'll be able to pick up, but more often than not, I'll just be like, nah, this isn't for someone of me who is obviously of lesser intellect.
Yeah.
Which often isn't the case.
Yeah.
Because then if I do go and figure it out and do it, I understand it in a way that's different to other people on the course.
Mm.
And I remember there was a time on the course where everyone was like, we can't figure this out. We don't know this. It's so complex. It's so confusing. And I'm like, what am I not doing? And I went that way. I instantly went to blame myself.
That's something that I've experienced an awful lot. You know, if the majority of people are doing something different to you, even though you feel like you've gotten the right thing, then it's an automatic, oh, well, then I've done it wrong.
Yeah. Like, they're finding this hard. I'm finding this really easy.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm the one who's wrong. And I remember our lecturer calling me out and being like, Stephen did this in a really different way to everyone else.
Mm.
And it was a roundabout way, but technically ingenious, because it eliminated this, eliminated this, and eliminated this. And I was like, is that good or bad?
Yeah.
You know, like, but it was just the way I had tangented into the correct answer.
Yeah.
But like if I can plug back in the missing piece, it'll work fine.
Yeah. So coming to another full circle.
Yeah.
So we're talking about the kind of difference between the remote learning and in-class learning. And that's something that I've really, I feel like I've already said this. That's something that I really noticed going through this was missing. That's what it was. The first one that I was.
Your first missing block of.
When I went back about the postgrad, this was the point I was trying to make. I was doing that postgrad with people.
Yeah.
We were in a class and we were learning together, you know. We weren't necessarily working on projects together, but every you know, whatever day it was, we would be in the class together. We would be watching live lectures, you know, interacting with not just the lecturer, but also with each other. And that's what I've really missed from this experience. You know, we have our Discord group, which I'm extremely busy on, you know, but it's very kind of sparse with conversation.
Yeah.
And like I say, it's that kind of bouncing off people that helps us learn.
Yeah.
And that's something that I really missed in this case. And I think back to my college years, you know, we had a really good group of small group in our class, and we were always kind of doing that, you know. Yeah. We were sitting beside each other, going over this, how did you figure this out? What could we do differently? Working on projects together. And that wasn't really in this until the engineering project.
Yeah.
But even still, it's coming together to meet about a project and then going your separate ways and then coming back together and kind of discussing how to put it all together.
Yeah.
So it's not really, it's collaboration removed from each other.
Yeah.
It's a different vibe. And that's what I was going to say to you. That's roundabout way of coming to the point of, if you could, from my own experience, I would try to do an in-person class, for the lectures, but for the peers doing the course, you know?
Well, we did, and now that I think about it, I just kind of bulled ahead and did it.
Yeah.
When we were in, because we were using, I think, Moodle.
Mm. We're using that,
And everyone was remote. It was a remote.
It's awful.
It's not great at all. It's not nice. But there was like a forum kind of section.
Mm.
And when we started, Graham hates when I do this because I do it in like social situations as well, where I'm like, if we go into any kind of group kind of thing where it's going to be like a regular thing with regular people, I'm like, let's create a WhatsApp group with everybody.
Yeah.
So I just did that with the course. In Moodle, I just said, hey, I'm Stephen, I'm out in Ashburn, I'm doing this, and here's my situation. We're not going to have a classroom
experience.
Be my friend.
Yeah.
We're not going to have a classroom experience, so let's create a WhatsApp group. Here's my number. Anyone who wants to be added to the group, just text me and I'll add you in. And we kind of created that kind of thing. And I was looking at other classes, because we weren't the only one. There was... other classes that were doing it, and they were all kind of like remote and not interacting and just doing their work and doing their assignments. I've got some of those people on like LinkedIn, on Instagram and stuff, and we still talk, and like we'll talk. One of them is currently looking for work, and he'll like bounce back at me and go like, hey, do you want to look at my CV? What do you think about this? And all that kind of stuff. And yeah, like it's like me bullying into, hey, like me, and creating a social group worked in that, and kind of created the virtual classroom experience rather than like when a classroom wasn't possible to do. I will look into doing in person. Like in person would be the preference, but life I don't think would allow in person.
That's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah. If I do another remote one, I'm kind of trying to apply the things that you said, but I'm also going to try and recreate a social aspect, because I think that's really important for me anyway. And I've always disregarded the social aspect.
So have I, I always worked really, really well alone.
Yeah.
And I prefer to do that.
I think that. And when I look at it when I look at myself, I go, I'm a big loner. I only want to learn by myself.
Yeah.
I don't want anyone at me. I don't want people judging me when I'm doing this stuff.
Yeah.
But when I look at what I actually need, it's the complete opposite.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, yeah. That's really hard to admit to myself.
It's funny. It's funny when you come to a realization like that.
Yeah. I've only, like, doing, because that's something we've never really talked about, our actual, like, college years and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's funny I say that because I don't have college years.
Yeah.
I left school. I went into hairdressing. I left hairdressing at 21. The years between 21 and 30, I'm never going to talk about. And then I met Graham when I was 29 and just started a professional career at that point. But I need the whiteboard.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I only kind of started my, like, professional learning at that point outside of things like hairdressing and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I went down, like, technical focused customer service kind of stuff. And then just built my career around that rather than doing learning and then taking a career in that direction. Yeah, yeah. So it's only now at the tender age of nearly 43 that I'm kind of like, what else can I do?
Yeah.
So when I was younger, I always wanted to be like a microbiologist or a vet or...
I'm kind of coming to a similar point in life now as well. You know, when I decided after the Leaving Cert, you know, what course I wanted to do, I wanted to do technology in some respect because that's where the money was, you know. I was interested in technology as well. Spent a lot of time in the computer room. I always kind of had that, you know, interest anyway, so it made sense. And then kind of, I never really had a particular route or a particular kind of career path in mind.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of fell into the roles that I fell into. So like leaving college, I went into like a web production role, you know, looking after websites, SEO and things like that. I had personally worked on things, graphic design. So I was good at Photoshop. I'd spent a lot of time messing around with that in the early days. Like, so I went in for this job interview for this web producer role. And your man said, yeah, we need someone who can do, you know, graphics as well. I was like, I can do graphics. So pretty much got hired on the spot then. And then kind of fell into another job. I was doing that postgrad, digital marketing. And was learning about content marketing, you know, so moved into a content specialist role.
Yeah.
So it was like a technical role, but focused on content, focused on SEO, user experience and stuff like that. And then fell into the ad tech world, you know, as a technical solution specialist, an operations specialist as well. And like, if you asked me when I was in school, would any of those jobs, you know, fit my idea of what I wanted to do? I couldn't have told you.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have a plan. I didn't have an idea. I wanted to work in technology. I wanted to make a lot of money. So I kind of fell into a route that guided me to where I got to, you know. But now that I've kind of, obviously the layoff come up, I've got a different life situation. We bought a house. We sold the house. We don't have, you know, that goal anymore.
Yeah.
We don't have kind of a real extreme financial pressure to push us towards that goal.
Yeah.
Like I felt back then. You know, that's one of the reasons why I did the learning to try and, you know, progress the career and make more money so I could get a house and
get a mortgage, all that.
Yeah. And we spent a lot of time, you know, working on things like that and building that career. But now that it's kind of come to a close, not necessarily close, come to a kind of crossroads, really.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about different areas, you know, where could I change to? Could I go down the creative route?
Yeah.
Entrepreneur. You know, is there anything like that? And I even thought about going back to landscaping, you know, because it's something that I loved. And I did it, my whole family on my dad's side are all landscapers. And I always loved that working outside. Talked about the practical side of things, you know, something that I really enjoyed, the fresh air. Being creative with how things are done, you know.
Yeah.
Creative in terms of the design of things, but also physical work. You know, you're not sitting at an office all day.
Yeah, I hate physical work.
I love it. I love it when it's enjoyable.
I feel fantastic after it.
Yeah.
And I've always like, I always have that weird kind of dichotomy of I love how I feel, like, even after gym work and stuff like that. But the blocker in my brain of you're going to hate this, you're going to absolutely hate this, it's going to, you're going to feel horrible, you're going to be tired, you're going to not enjoy the strain, always gets in the way. Even though I know I'm going to feel good afterwards, and I always do feel good afterwards, but the, like, the voice in my head is way, way stronger.
Yeah. My voice is, it stops me from taking the first step.
Mm.
That's where my voice pops in. It doesn't have anything to do with the negatives or the discomfort. Yeah.
So what does it say? Like, what's your, because mine's like, this is going to feel bad. People are going to say you're doing bad, all that kind of stuff. What stops you from taking the first step?
I don't know. So, like, say, for example, if there was an opportunity for me to go to the gym, I've been to the gym in a good while now. I went ham on the gym, like, earlier on, last year now. You know, the most I've ever gone to the gym consistently.
And you were doing fantastic.
Did really well, yeah.
Progression photos that you posted on Instagram. Oh, my God. And I was like, holy crap.
It's crazy. It was like, who I'm supposed to be, you know, physically. And it was really good. I felt great emotionally and physically.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about the other day, you know, I'm like a completely different person now, even how I hold myself. And there's a lot of confidence that comes from, you know, feeling good about yourself.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
But now what the fuck was I going to say?
The voice in your head.
Yeah. So I think it's like, we talked about the laziness before. Yeah. It's, I just don't want to.
Yeah.
Or I can't bring myself to do it. Which is, it's a bit of a nightmare as well, right? Because when you have that motivation, a lot of that comes from, for me anyway, a lot of it comes from the routine.
Yeah.
And when I got into making the routine, I was in the gym every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and either Friday or Saturday, depending on how hard the Thursday workout was.
Yeah.
And I didn't miss it at all, unless there was something, you know, severe that needed to be missed for. And that was my routine. Up at 6:30 in the morning, gear all ready, get dressed, didn't have breakfast, went to the gym, there for an hour and a half or whatever, and then home, have my shower, bring the kids to school.
Yeah.
And that was my routine. It was fantastic. And I loved it. Walking over, walking home, the whole thing. And once we went on holidays a few times, and that broke the routine. And I kept saying to myself, I'll go tomorrow. I'll go tomorrow. I'll go tomorrow. And tomorrow just never came.
Yeah.
You know? And it's actually so heartbreaking to look back at all the work that I put in, all the progress that I made, and then see how it's completely reverted. And actually, I put on more weight.
Yeah.
Now, I probably still have a lot of the muscle that I put on and a lot of the strength, because I can actually see the difference in my body from before I started the gym, even to now. Like, my shoulders are broader, my back is broader.
When you put on weight after you've lost weight or built muscle, your body shape changes. Like, I went absolutely crazy in the gym before we got married. And, like, again, same kind of thing. Built
it. I remember you guys when you were getting ready for the
wedding.
My God.
It was intense.
You were like sticks to 2 years.
Yeah. Now, when I look back, I'm like...
You were doing some really, really crazy dieting, if I remember as well, right?
We had a PT. We were following really strict kind of stuff. Not in, like... It wasn't in a... Like, our PT was very much about, like, the sustainability of these things. Like, don't have, like, these kind of 500-calorie diets and stuff like that. It was about, like, just making sure you're in a calorie deficit and
all this kind of stuff.
And it was all about it actually being something you can work with. But the physical work we were doing was intense.
Mm.
Like, and I was really ill at the time, but we were doing a lot of high-intensity kind of stuff. So I just kept on fainting because I didn't have enough blood in my body to actually do the stuff. But, yeah, like, we went really intense with that. And then, naturally, got married, went on a few holidays, and it all just went out the window when I got really sick, and it all just fell apart.
Yeah.
And since then, I haven't been able to recapture that.
Yeah, yeah.
I've tried a few times, and like I get really, really good, and I get really focused, and I work with personal trainers, and I'm like get really focused and dedicated, and I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. And then, like, there's a stumbling block, as always happens. It's life happens.
Life gets in the fucking way.
Yeah. Yeah. And once I hit that stumbling block, it's like, well, that's it, over.
And this has just, like, light bulbed me.
Yeah.
We know that happens.
Yeah.
We know life gets in the way. I knew before we went on the holidays, it was going to ruin my routine. I knew that it was going to happen. And I was like, it's going to be difficult to get back into the routine when I get home.
Yeah.
And I knew that. And I tried in advance. You know, we went to Portugal for 3 or 4 days. That was grand. I was going to the gym then when I got back.
Yeah.
But we're going to Lanzarote for 2 weeks, a week after we got back from Portugal.
Yeah.
And I spent an awful lot of time trying to figure out where I could work out,
yeah.
You know, because it was on a very kind of intense program, and I didn't want to waste all of the work that I was on. And I couldn't find anywhere to do it. So that ended up kind of going out the window. And then we were back for about a week. I think myself and Rach went on our honeymoon last year. When did we get married? 2022.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a year later, it was actually... it was a present she bought me for the wedding. Was our three or four day honeymoon in Rome. It was lovely. It was the first time we'd been away since all the craziness happened 3 or 4 years ago. But again, you know, continuous build on the routine being downtrodden, and pushed down, and that was like a month. Or a month and a half, maybe, you know, from the start of the first holiday to the end of the last one. And going back to where we were talking, we knew these things were going to happen. You know, I knew in my perspective, I'm sure you knew in certain circumstances, life going to get in the way. So how do we address that for the next time?
How do you build those blockers that stop it all, that stop life getting in the
way? You need a strategy for... We know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
What's the plan to mitigate the really shit stuff that comes after when that happens? And we need to have a plan in place for that.
Yeah. My plan that I put in place for that kind of thing, tried and true.
Yeah.
Every single time is to ignore putting a plan in place and just do the same thing again and fail again.
Yeah.
And then hate myself and like just think, why did I let this fail again?
Yeah.
And why can't I do this? So... Yeah, that clearly works really well.
Time for a new plan, I think.
Time for a new plan.
yeah, so it's not even something I ever kind of considered or thought about. It was literally just in this conversation. It's like, if this was a work situation and we found out there was a problem, kept occurring every time. I was playing with my chair earlier on.
Did you just break the chair?
I've been spending so much time in the office with like the podcast stuff, the editing stuff, college and... job hunting and stuff where I hadn't been spending an awful lot of time, so my chair just doesn't really work for me anymore.
Yeah.
Just trying to figure out how to get the ergonomics back to the way that made me feel good. But yeah, like if we're in a work situation and the same problem kept coming up and nobody put a plan in place,
you'd retro the shit out of that.
There's some issue and somebody's gonna get, you know, talked to.
I think that's what I need to do about my own brain is I need a manager for my brain that will give out to me.
Yeah.
That like some will say that's Graham does that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, like I need to look at why I'm so quick to let those fails happen, I suppose.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, I'm letting it happen in a kind of like, and like it's tied in with like self-esteem and it's tied in with what I feel I'm worth. So there's a lot of building that
rather than thinking about it like that.
Yeah.
You know, as a, why do I do this?
Yeah.
Look for the solution. Do you know what I mean? So instead of retrospectively looking at the thing that you did and you didn't do the way you wanted to do and now you're pissed off with yourself, and what could you have done differently? Preempt it. and come up with, use the experiences that you've already had, you know, in the specific things. What happened? And what was your reaction? And what could have stopped it? And then have a plan. So like in my gym thing, my trainer offered to give me kind of like a bodyweight workout, you know, that I could do on holidays. And I was like, no, I don't need to have that. You know, I know how to do the bodyweight exercises. And if there's a gym there, I'll be using the gym. So it's nothing to worry about. And that could have saved me.
Yeah.
You know? So that's one thing. But
if you had the bodyweight workout that he had built for you, and this is the thing, because that's something that happened with us, because we went on holiday and the trainer did give us bodyweight plans to keep our progress going. Because when we got married, that wasn't the end goal of the fitness kind of journey. We were still supposed to keep going, and it was supposed to continue on, but it didn't
because
we got married. But he did build, like, he gave us TRX straps. He had built those bodyweight plans so we could keep doing stuff. But I just didn't do it, you know? So that's what, like, if he had given you a bodyweight plan, like exercises built around bodyweight stuff, would you have done it?
I would have done it, yeah.
Okay.
If I had the program, I would have done it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's a possibility here that I need to look at. Maybe my problem is actually just laziness.
And that's a wrap on another episode of ADH Derpcast. We hope you enjoyed tagging along on this mushy brand conversation with us. Remember, whether you're navigating the daily challenges or celebrating those ADHD wins, we're here to share the ride with you. Let's keep the conversation going until next time. Until then, stay quirky, stay awesome, and keep embracing your unique ADHD journey. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss the next episode, where we'll try to focus on one topic, but inevitably fail and explore whatever comes into our minds.